That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, millennials.
Well, welcome back to The Toast and happy Thursday. Hope you're doing well. I miss you all so much. How you doing? My girl is Jax is back. She is back. She was really sick, but she is back. Now she's still sick, but she feels better enough to podcast. And that is good enough for me. Hey, Jax, how you doing?
Perfect intro sums it up. I was sick yesterday. I'm still sick, but feeling better well enough to podcast. So you'll still get that nasally, but I have entered my sticky shoes era. Mm. And I'm not going to lie, I've been practicing songs I was going to sing.
Hit me.
And this is the song I decided to sing because I was like, I didn't want to do the climb again because you guys know I've mastered it.
Yeah, it's like boring at this point.
Right. It's like
a classic.
Challenge yourself.
Right.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. You were bigger than the whole sky. You were more than just a short. I can't hear myself with my headphones. Hold on.
Well, you're like a real singer, like taking your earpiece out.
Yeah. I've got a lot to pine about. I've got a lot to live without. I'm never gonna meet what could have been, would have been, what should have been you. Yeah. So that's just a little treat for you guys today.
Yeah, so that's that on that.
So that's that on that. And we have multiple treats today. One, the show itself, always a treat.
Treats galore.
Two, we're showing you some new winter merch. You guys, Claude and I have been working on a little winter collection for you using our favorite word that we have yet to
capitalize.
I was going to say something like,
design?
No. Like when you put it
create.
In like, I'm not going to get the word because I'm sick and I'm in a fog. But we have this gorgeous wench holiday merch. I am wearing the cream wench reindeer set. I'm going to move my microphone so you can see. And the matching sweatpants. I'm in a size XL. I could have done a large. Yeah, I'm feeling small.
Yeah, I'm in a size medium. I could not have done a small. I could not.
The quality is so cozy and so cute. There's a little The Toast Established 2018 on the sleeve. This is all going to drop on Monday, so we wanted to give you ample time to know what's coming. Claudia's in our black wenchy light set.
Toasty lights, we don't know her. Wenchy lights, we know her.
Except it says wench, not wenchy. Just want to make that clear. Wench on the breasts and wench on the thigh. Double the wench, double the fun. Also, there's a wench on the thigh for me as well.
Yeah, holiday collection 2023, greater than everything we've ever done in our lives.
It's so cozy. I'm loving my fit today, so that also just makes it a great episode. The merch is going to drop Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Don't worry, we will keep reiterating that to you throughout the next 5 days. You can get it at shoptoastmerch.com. Not to be confused again with Shop Chanel, Shop Hermes, but Shop Toast merch.
Shop Toast merch. We are dropping our holiday merch a little bit early for a multitude of reasons. One, that holiday shipping ain't a joke. We want to get it out to everyone. We're also doing pre-orders so that everybody can get the size that they want. So the collection will be up for probably 2 days, give everyone a chance to get exactly what they want, and then we will close it and start shipping out and making the sweatshirts. So we just wanted to make sure, A, everybody gets what they want, and B, we have enough time to ship out all the orders. So
that it gets to you before the holidays.
Keep that in mind. We're very excited about this collezione. We'll be teasing, you know, getting some good product shots. Some Jackie and I are kind of like modeling. It'll all be on our Instagram throughout the rest of the week and the weekend, so make sure you're following The Toast Instagram. I feel like that needs to be said.
I feel like we haven't modeled in a while.
Let me think. The last time I modeled, when was the last time I was on set? I don't know. I'm just like constantly like always on sets. I can't even keep track of my set schedule.
I kind of took a hiatus from modeling.
Oh, let's talk about that. Is it because the industry is so toxic?
The industry is toxic. I needed to kind of step away and center myself.
Of course.
And come back to it with more of a level head. So now I feel ready to re-enter the sphere of modeling.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. It was what was best for me.
That's good.
It is good. So Toast merch, very exciting. We couldn't wait another minute. We got our samples and we were like,
let's go.
I have to wear this. There's nothing else I want to wear today is the problem.
We got our samples and we said, ba, ba, da, 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 da. Let's go, girls. Let's go, girly swirlies.
Yeah, so you did the toast with Ben yesterday.
I did.
And he wanted me to come on here.
He did?
And apologize
for
not choosing him as my host something happened.
He was shook that, like, when I recapped that conversation for him when we were talking on Tuesday, like, if I were to quit, who would you choose? And if I were to, you know what I mean? And I told Ben, and I was trying to, I thought it was like a compliment when I was saying it. I was like, I chose you, and Jackie chose, like, obviously Olivia or Margo.
And then he was so offended, and I was like, it didn't even occur to me that Ben would be offended by that. I would think, if anything, my husband would be offended because you chose your rose was your husband, and then I chose my sister's. Like, I never even thought Ben, but then he said to me, he was like, well, I thought you would have just chose me because I'm a good podcaster.
Well, that's why I chose him.
And I said, that's a good point. That was a good point. So, but he's definitely in the mix. He's definitely top three.
But that's so Ben to, like, I shared with him a nice story and he only sees that you didn't choose him. Not that I chose him.
I just feel like if I had said Ben also, that would have been crazy.
No, not only that, like, we'd make a monster out of him. We have to keep him grounded. No.
And it's like, you can no longer do the toast. And it wasn't like if something happened to one of us. It was like if you decided not to do it anymore. So, like, that would obviously connote something
bad
a little
blood.
Negative. Something a little negative. Even if it was just like the toast was bad for your mental health or something. Like, right. So you're going to put your husband in the arena?
It's
I just
true.
Feel like that would have been a crazier response.
No, I think it more so is like we couldn't have both said Ben. For the sake of Ben's big head.
No, but like that just, I think that would have been really weird if I said Ben. Honestly, I understand like where he's coming from. He's top tier podcaster up for the job.
And like the Ben and Jackie episodes, they are great. They're great.
The Bwunge and Swunge effect. We have a great rapport. We really do. Like he would make a great host and I would definitely put him up for some screen testing. I just think if I answered with Ben also, that would have been really weird.
Now I'm kind of rethinking my answer because like I love doing the show with you. But if I had to say like one negative thing, it's like it's about both of us, you know? If I had my druthers, it would all be about me. So if I had if you quit, like, and I could have the opportunity for it to be all about me, I might have like a rotating, like just so that it's always about me and then the co-host is just kind of fluid.
Oh no, I don't think that's stable enough. But if you do want it to be all about you, you could have like a little producer off to the side with a microphone who you're like talking to.
Like Theo Vaughn type.
Who only speaks when spoken to.
By the way, I can't think of a job I'd be less qualified for than like that role of like the on-air producer who only speaks when spoken to. That is my worst nightmare. I'd just be like turning bright red. My veins would be popping out, like trying not to
like
say
that
stuff.
Meme.
Yes.
Would you rather be the producer who's only speaks when spoken to or set up chairs on the beach?
The producer, because he's probably sitting.
Yeah, but you're so athletic now. You would get a tan. You probably are rethinking that.
But no, I'm not. And by the way, you know, Jimmy Fallon has one of those speakers. I feel like he's not on the show anymore, but like that little guy, you know, Steve.
Guillermo?
No, Steve. Okay. Guillermo's Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Fallon has that guy, Steve, with the glasses who stands off to the side. First of all, he hasn't been seen in a while. Like, is he still on the show? And two, Jimmy Kimmel makes his off-air producer, who sometimes says stuff, he makes him stand. He's standing the whole time. That I wouldn't do that job.
That ain't right. Jimmy, bigger one.
In size or in show? Yeah,
physically bigger.
Taller or wider? Because Jimmy Kimmel, like, I think, struggles with his weight, but Jimmy Fallon is taller.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Not the one from the movie with Drew Barrymore.
Kimmel.
Is hosting the Oscars. Not a story, but just a note.
It's so not worthy of a story. Like, I literally saw that and I tried to care less, but I couldn't.
No, I know. And it's not like there was an abundance of stories today. Like, I could have chosen it.
Right, right.
So we could have had, you know, the same conversation about hosts and, you know, give it to Theo Von or Tim Dillon. But I wasn't in the mood.
Speaking of story selections, did you choose the story about Travis Kelce's old tweets?
No, I didn't.
Can we talk about it really briefly?
Yeah, of course.
Now, it's a hilarious story, but it's worth noting that people went to Travis's Twitter to find old tweets.
To expose him.
In bad faith. Like, it was
in
not...
In bad faith.
They were bad faith actors.
BFAs.
They were BFAs. And what ended up happening was funny, but, like, we need to stop doing that. We just absolutely need to.
No, I'm glad that you're mentioning that, and...
But the result...
I'm glad it worked out for Travis.
The result was hilarious. The tweets that they found from when he was super young are so mind-numbingly stupid and moronic. Like, he's literally tweeting, like, can't wait to get Chipotle. Nap time! I just saw a squirrel in the park. Like, an actual 14-year-old. It's so precious. It's so sweet. And I think it really is, like, an indicator of, like, he's always just been, like, this big goofball. But let's not forget, like, people went there with bad intentions.
Yeah, they did. Stop it.
Stop it. Like, stop.
And it's like, they're Taylor fans, but they clearly don't want her to be happy. Because what if they had found what they were looking for?
Well, you know, they found what they were looking for with Brittany Mahomes. Of course, they, like, searched through her old tweets, the words Taylor Swift. And there was, like, three tweets. They weren't terrible. It was just like, I wonder if Taylor Swift will ever write about anything other than her relationships. And then there was another one that was, like, Taylor Swift winning every award. She was obviously, like, live tweeting some award show at the time.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift winning every award. Less than, less than, less than, less than, less than.
At this point, I'm madder at the people who go and find those types of things than the people. Like, I don't care that Brittany Mahomes 10 years ago was, you know, frustrated Taylor Swift won every award. Like, it's so wrong.
Yeah, but I do wonder how Taylor feels about it.
It's so awkward.
It's so awkward.
It's so awkward.
And the thing is, like, sometimes you meet someone or you know someone and you don't like them at first. And then years later, you end up, like, being really good friends with them. And it's like, oh, ha, ha, ha. And you, as a human being, like, it's that privilege of what you first thought of them is, like, It's private.
Yeah.
Now the internet has kind of stripped that away where you just
and
like,
it's weird when it's like you're a fan of someone's and you're commenting on them and then you know them.
Yeah.
It's just weird and unnecessary. Like, why'd you have to go there? We all feel weird about it.
Yeah, like, let's just not.
Like, when I saw that, like, I felt really awkward.
Yeah, what if we just didn't?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Let's not and say we did.
Let's not even say we did.
A few months ago, I was thinking about a time in my life where my rebuttal to absolutely anything that was said to me was, let's not and say we did. And that was such a slay.
How cool are you?
Yeah, no, like, it was a slay, and I need to start bringing it back.
No, please don't. It's literally so rude and condescending. That's like when everyone's rebuttal was, you would.
Oh, that's fucking rude. I thought you were going to say when everybody's rebuttal was like, your mom.
Right, right, right. Of course.
That just lacked creativity. That's not even a good one.
But like, you would. It was so nasty.
By the way, you would. That was dark. And then when you were
dark.
Talking, when you were talking shit about someone, you were like, oh, she would. Actually, yeah. I still say that.
No, it's so mean. Yeah, I will. I will. And I can. And I shall.
Oh, speaking of words, I have made significant progress in the book, The Fourth Wing. I'm so glad I stuck with it. I'm 85% there. I'll probably finish it today. Oh, honestly, everybody was like, the beginning, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I kept going and I was like 20, 25, 30, 35. And I'm like, this book is not getting better. And seriously, like, it's literally one word that changes it. Like, 35%, you're there. Like, I've never had such like an instant shift. Usually it's more gradual. I'm getting more into it and then I love it. Literally, in 1 second, loved.
Yeah, also, I meant to tell you, I know you said Anya Taylor-Joy should play Violet. I disagree.
Okay.
But when we did Redheads, when I would think of, like, Zayden and Violet, you know who I think of?
Who?
Jacob Elordi and Olivia Jade. Like, he's so tall, she's so small.
No, I love it. I love it.
They should be.
Let's talk about this really quickly. So the book has been optioned for a series at Amazon. So we know it's being brought to a screen near us. I did see it more as like a movie franchise. There's so many things in the book that remind me so much of Hunger Games.
I think it's going to be a movie.
I heard series.
Okay. Okay.
And even if it's on Amazon, like, this needs to be something in the theaters. Like, this is going to bring back like those big franchises. There's so many Twilight references. There's so, honestly, I see it so much as like a Hunger Games type of thing.
Me too. Like PETA and Gale.
Duh.
Yeah.
Duh. But of course, casting comes to mind. And I do really see Violet as Anya Taylor-Joy, except like Violet physically is so small and short. And Anya Taylor-Joy is just too tall for it. But I'm sorry, the hair, the face, the body, like, it's giving Violet Soaringale. I stand by that.
I understand.
And but I do also think she's also 18. Like, we need someone really young.
Right. I think it will probably be an unknown.
Yeah.
Kind of like, or, you know, an up-and-coming actress, kind of like how Jennifer Lawrence was, Kristen Stewart. Like, they had worked before, but they weren't household names. I love that.
Yeah. And for Zayden, I don't picture Zayden when I'm reading it so much as I picture Violet. Like, I don't really know what Zayden looks like. I can't put my finger on it.
I think on Redheads, we do the Hollywood treatment. If you've read Fourth Wing, go listen to the Redheads episode. We all gave our casting suggestions. I like Jacob Elordi. Someone said Charles Melton. You know, he's from
Riverdale. I like that. He's very handsome. And I also feel like the only real descriptors they gave is that he has very, like, tan bronzed skin and brown hair.
Yeah, so it could be anyone, really.
Jacob Elordi with a spray tan.
Yeah.
But somebody big.
Tall.
Yeah, and, like, chiseled.
Yeah, chiseled.
And who's, like, he's 23.
And she's 20.
20? Yeah, they're 3 years
apart. Yeah, because I just started the second book.
Yeah.
And she just turned 21.
And my book club has hit a kind of fork in the road for this month because we're reading Matthew Perry's memoir. And there's like two or three girlies in the book club who are so against Kindles. Like, we talk about it every week. Like, they just read hardcover books. And the book is like sold out everywhere. So like, they went to go purchase and there are no books.
Well, maybe a toaster is selling a copy.
Oh, if you're selling a copy, LMK.
There's always people selling copies of books in the Redheads Facebook group.
Okay.
Amazing things happen.
I will source. That's a good call.
Yeah, it is a good call. You're welcome.
So I'm loving the book. I'm going to read the sequel, of course. And everyone was right.
I'm so glad. I was reading the sequel last night. I felt like I was reading so much and I was at 4%.
Oh, that's so tough.
No, but like, it must be in a 1,000-page book. I meant to look up how many pages it is.
Oh, don't ruin it for me, because you know then I won't want to read it.
No, but like, if you love it, then it's just more.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it is, 623, same as Fourth Wing.
Oh, Fourth Wing is 600 pages?
Pretty sure.
Wow, if I had known that before, I wouldn't have read it.
That's why we keep things from you.
It's true. It's so important to keep things from me.
528. Okay. Yeah, it's important.
So I'm looking forward to like keeping up with the casting of that series or movie or whatever it's going to end up being. That'll be fabulous.
Yeah, very, very exciting. And I'm so glad you're on board. And then you have to listen to the Redheads episode.
Yeah, of course. I love listening to the Redheads episodes after I finish a book. So I listen to The Measure.
Oh, what'd you think? Who'd you agree with most?
None of you. Maybe Rebecca, because you guys talked a lot about how you thought the book was very COVID-y. And like, I honestly didn't get that at all.
Yeah.
So Rebecca was like, oh my God, I didn't even think of that. And I was like, same.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. But it's such a great way. And also, like, sometimes when I read books, that's why I need to listen to the Fourth Wing Redheads episode. Like I
you
said,
miss stuff.
Like I said earlier in the book, like I'm earlier in the week, I'm really not like the smartest person, especially book smart. So I feel like stuff really goes over my head, like details or, you know, no, meaning.
We all had that experience with Fourth Wing where it's like someone noticed something that the others didn't and we were all like learning more because there's a lot of stuff in the book.
Yeah.
Speaking of COVID-y, I'm pretty sure I have COVID.
Yikes. Stay away.
Throwback Thursday.
By the way, I feel like now like it's November.
Yeah.
And like before COVID, let's remember like during this time of year, like people would get the flu. They would get the cold.
Yeah.
Like it's just like being sick in the winter.
No, I'm literally just sick. I assumed I had a cold, but then my friend has COVID and she was telling me her symptoms. And I was like, yeah, those are my symptoms too. And then yesterday I couldn't taste or smell. And that has never happened to me before.
Oh, by the way, that's happened to me though.
No, Claudia, with a cold, like, yeah, you can't smell. Yeah. No, I've never like been eating something and I couldn't. Like I was eating everything bagel crisps. That's a flavorful snack.
Yeah.
Couldn't taste a thing. It could have been anything.
Okay. But by the way, like that has happened to me many times when I'm sick. I don't feel like that's a COVID exclusive thing. When your nose gets so blocked up, it's math. I mean, it's science. Like,
no, I know. But I've never had the experience of not being able to taste, period. It's coming back today, which is good because it's weird to not be able to taste. It's like, oh, I should take advantage of this, eat healthy.
Yeah, by the way, the last time, I think I was at your house and I was so sick. I literally ate broccoli because I couldn't taste. I'm like, might as well.
I know, but it's also, I'm realizing, like, so psychological. It's like, well, I want to curl up with a bag of pretzels.
Yeah, not a bag of broccoli.
Not a bag of broccoli. Even though I did the other day steam some broccoli and eat it.
That's disgusting.
No, because last week I was making broccoli egg bites and I had leftover broccoli that was like seasoned. So I just started eating it. I was like, this is so good. I should make this for a snack.
Let's not and say we did.
Anyways, refuah shleima to me.
Refuah shleima to you. Do you need to blow your nose off camera? You sound...
Yes, I'm waiting for the ad break. I'm going to go hard. No,
because I have something else to say and you can... it'll give you like 10 seconds.
Okay, I'm going to take my headphones off so that I can...
Live your best life.
Okay, but I'm going to miss what you're going to say. Very sad.
Oh, okay.
Just give me a teaser.
No, so I went last night to a dinner to celebrate the opening of the new Crate and Barrel store in Flatiron. And oh my God, like... I've never been like a Crate and Barrel girly. Like I go more CB2 because like it's cheaper. And it's a 25,000 square foot store. It looks seriously like a Costco. Like it's huge. It was so sick. It was so gorgina. There was like a dinner downstairs for like 50 people, but upstairs you could just like walk around the store, take pictures. Oh my God. I'm so in the holiday spirit now. They had like Christmas trees and like an ornament making thing. And they had, like, it was so sick. And I just wanted to say like it opened today. Like I'm going to be spending my time at Crate and Barrel. Like I've never been one of those girls, but with my new house.
Yeah. You need to make selections.
Okay. Go, go, go.
Yeah. I'm actually going to get up and mute my microphone without further ado from this nasally wench. Here are the fast side stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Mattress Firm. When you sleep on the right mattress, everything becomes clear. Mattress Firm carries a wide selection of high-quality mattresses from top brands at every price point, excuse me. And the right mattress matters. Mattress Firm will find yours this Black Friday sale. Take advantage. I feel like a mattress is an investment. A mattress is the one thing in your life that I think is most important. Honestly, I would say that. And with Mattress Firm's Black Friday sale, it's a great time to take advantage. My mattress is from Mattress Firm. I bought it at one of their big annual sales. And with Black Friday coming up, do not miss out. You can score major deals on top brands from Mattress Firm's Black Friday sale. If you're a parent, you know, like sleep can decline as you get older with the kids and the problems and everything. There's never a bad time in your life to invest in a good, decent mattress. Sleep plays a key role in our emotional well-being, especially during parenthood. It's important to support good sleep habits by optimizing you and your family's routine around sleep and bedtime. As sleep disruptors change, whether due to age, location, or the arrival of new children, a foundation/routine will help you overcome those hurdles. So with the holidays coming up, give yourself the gift of good rest this year. You know that Mattress Firm carries some of the finest brands. Mine is Tempur-Pedic. They have, you know, Stearns & Foster. They have all the greatest brands, in my opinion. So make sure to take advantage of the Black Friday sale at Mattress Firm. Take 120 nights to make sure it's right for you or your money back. You can shop in-store online at mattressfirm.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Game Time. You shouldn't have to worry when you buy tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guaranteed, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. All-in prices shows your total upfront so you know what you're getting, that you're getting a great deal before you check out, and you can buy tickets in seconds with two taps. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts, so it's really the place to find last-minute seats. Find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with zone deals, you can pick the section and Game Time will pick the seats for you for big time savings. And the Game Time guarantee means that you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code TOAST for $20 off your first purchase. Game Time is just a great app to constantly have on your phone, whether you travel for work or... you know, you live in a fabulous city like I do, Nueva York, and there's always stuff going on. Have the Game Time app. It's a great way to discover things going on in your city. Terms apply. When you download the Game Time app, create an account and use code TOAST for $20 off your first purchase. Again, create that account. Redeem code TOAST for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Today's episode is also brought to you by Quince. I love high-end luxury goods as much as the next gal, but sometimes our wallets aren't on the same page. And that was until we found Quince, our go-to place for luxury essentials at prices within reach. So Quince's business model just makes sense. They create timeless classics that never go out of style. You can have them in your closet forever. Like they have 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, washable silk tops and dresses, flattering pants. But the best price is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. They cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to the customer. They only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I have so many great pieces from Quince. Every time I wear this like beige cashmere V-neck sweater, I get so many questions about it. It's so well made. It's cashmere and it was very reasonably priced and it's now my second winter with it. It really is very well made. I have a great pair of slacks. You know, you need slacks, a nice like tailored black pant.
You do.
So you can get affordable luxury with Quince. Go to quince.com/toast for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. These are pieces that will last you a long time. They are really well made. They are fairly priced. And so if you're looking to build like a great capsule wardrobe of like staple pieces that are well made, head to quince.com/toast to get free shipping and free 365-day returns. That's quince.com/toast.
Thank you, La. I feel like a new woman.
Yeah, well, oh, I'm so good. I'm so glad.
Do I sound like one?
Yes, you sound great and clear.
Crystal clear.
Crystal.
I wonder how long I'll have. Hopefully till the next ad break, till I need to expel myself again.
You let me know.
I will.
We can always cut. Just let me, it's not a big deal.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I like, you know, sneaking it in.
Yeah, I know.
Our first story, not our next one. Fire Festival 2 kicks off with zero gravity flights and no catastrophes. If convicted fraudster Billy McFarland, the guy behind the catastrophically incompetent Fire Festival, took you to a remote airstrip outside of New York City and told you to get on a tiny plane to experience zero gravity flight, would you climb aboard? Apparently, some people would. Page 6 hears that ex-con Billy McFarland took a group of around 75 of the first people to buy tickets for his do-over event, Fire Festival 2, to an airfield in Orange County, New York, and sent them up in private planes to experience weightlessness. Pilots can create the feeling of weightlessness even inside the Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah, they did it on The Bachelor.
By flying through a certain kind of arc. Is that what
Vanessa Grimaldi did when she threw up? Yeah. Okay,
literally me.
I have so many things to say.
First, he's doing a Fire Festival 2. Mm-hmm. People have bought tickets. The first purchasers got to experience weightlessness with Billy McFarland.
The fact that there are 75 people who purchased tickets, like, they are fucking morons. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what's going to go wrong, but I will not feel bad for them. Like, I won't. Like, this is so stupid. Second of all, Fire Festival and Billy McFarland is a pop culture moment I am so done with. Like, I don't want to hear him on podcasts. I don't want to see him doing interviews. I don't want us to hear about what his next plans are for. Like, I don't care. Can we stop? Like, we get so obsessed with these things and we ruin them. Like, okay, I understand when the documentaries came out. Like, sure, it was fun. That was years ago. Why are we still talking about this person?
I mean, because it was such a moment, I think everyone's trying to recreate the moment. It's giving Suez. It's giving, you know, shipping container, like trying to squeeze through, trying to make a Suez moment. The way I feel about Billy, though, I feel differently. I'm just like, bro, like, if at first you don't succeed, try again. I love this for him. I think he should keep going. I hope Fire Festival 2 is a massive success and he proves all the haters wrong. I hope that for him.
I don't care. Like, that's the thing. Succeed or not, like, my life remains unaffected. I will never purchase. Like, I cannot. And by the way, not only did they buy a ticket, they also bought a ticket with, like, more dangerous activities. Like, I would never go on a plane that was procured by Billy McFarland.
Yeah, but if you watch the documentaries about Fire Festival, like, Billy just has this, I'm sorry to say, entrepreneurial spirit that you cannot quell.
Even you can't
when
deny.
When he was doing, it's an entrepreneurial spirit coupled with a fraudster spirit.
Right, of
that
course.
That makes for this beautiful enigma that is Billy McFarland. Even when he was doing those credit cards, like, he just wants to build something.
No, he just, like, wants money. That's why
his name should be Bildy.
Bildy McFarland.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you can't crush his spirit. He paid the time for the crime.
He did. But I'm just so uninterested in the comings and goings of Fire Festival 1.0, 2.0, 3.04. Like, I don't care.
And I think also the people who buy tickets, they just want to be a part of something. I think it speaks
and,
to, like,
and by
a
the way,
deep, like, desire and deep desire to be in a documentary, you
and
know?
By the way, nobody on the planet understands that better than me. Every day I wake up and I say, what can I be a part of today? But not at the expense of my own life.
Yeah. But did getting they on a die? Plane. But did they die?
Did you die though?
But did you die?
No, they didn't. This time.
Yeah. He has the same energy as that guy who created the submersible company.
Yes.
Like trying to do something that can't be done for a reason.
For a reason.
There's a reason why you can't do a music festival on a remote island because they right. don't have the infrastructure.
Right, right.
There's a reason why it hasn't been done before.
Like, I'm just, like, if I never heard the words Fyre Festival again, like, I would be fine, you know? I'm at that place now.
I'm at the place where it's, like, history to me, and I can relive it, for, like, at a glance. I'm not in it. Like, now it's, like, it's far enough away that I can re-engage from time to time.
For me, it isn't love, it isn't hate, it's just indifference.
Okay. It sounds a little like hate.
No, actually. I feel very calm. It's indifference.
Okay, it's indifference. Sorry.
I am indifferent. Like, I feel similar. Like, people are always grouping them together, like he and Anna Delvey.
She did come to mind as a fraudster with an entrepreneurial spirit
who, like, the media won't let you forget.
Yeah. I guess my treatment of these two is a little different.
Is it because Anna's a woman?
Is it internalized misogyny? No, I think it's because what Anna Delvey was doing was just kind of like specific to her. And I don't even know what she was doing.
No, and she was like, stealing money from banks. It's hard to be sad for banks.
No, it's not even like I feel sad, but like Billy McFarlane, it was like the influencers, the celebrities, like everybody was involved in what it was just so much bigger than him. Whereas I feel like what Anna Delvey was doing, like
was all her, really,
you know, a little circle jerk.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't big enough for me to care about.
No, there were actual victims in the Fyre Festival saga.
And there were people. There are all these different
Jackie,
layers.
No, Jackie, if anything, you should dislike Billy McFarlane more than you dislike Anna Delvey.
But we're talking about
Bahamian
companies. No, I know,
companies.
But we're not talking about a dislike for the scam they did. We're talking about a dislike for the media cover, like the press about them and them as like public figures.
How about this? I don't like either of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I like either of them.
And in terms of the content that was made from their scandals, like, I quite enjoyed Inventing Anna.
I quite enjoyed the Fyre Festivals.
I never saw them.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe.
Because it was, like, really crazy.
I'm sure. It was just one of those trends I just, like, didn't participate in.
That's like me and Tiger King.
What a blessing that was.
Yeah. To not participate?
To not participate.
Or the show itself?
No. To not participate.
For some people, like, it was the biggest blessing in their life.
And that's what's wrong with this country.
There's a lot of things wrong with this country. Can you tell me about this Osama bin Laden TikTok thing?
I would love to.
Please, like, I think I know what's happening and I can't believe it. I need you to break it down for me.
Apparently, like, while Osama was kicking, you know, in that palace of his, he had penned this open letter, a scholar, if you will, to the United States with his just, you know, his philosophies and his thoughts, you know, on the matter. And it was like, I don't think it was, you know, made waves when it was published, but somebody on TikTok posted about it and it's gone viral. And people are like, you know, posting videos, recapping and sharing their thoughts on the letter to America penned by Osama bin Laden. And I will say, it's important to note, most of the people who made videos were women. Just thought that was an important thing to add. Being like, you know, Osama had a point.
Osama had a point.
Being like, let's talk about this letter. And I'd be like, yeah, let's talk about it. And if I watched a video, like, horrified that the thoughts they were having on the letter weren't the same as my thoughts. And I honestly think people like this really need to be watched by the FBI. Like, it's insane.
It's insane. What's Osama's thesis?
The thing is, I don't know.
Is it, you know, America needs to be destroyed?
Yeah, it's like, you know, the freedoms and that, you know, our government is lying to us. Like, it's insane. It's written by Osama bin Laden, you know?
No, it's literally Osama.
No, and it's not figuratively Osama.
It's not giving Osama.
No, in a literal sense, in a physical sense, in a tangible sense, it's Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, but those people on TikTok and who are empathize these empaths for Osama, they weren't alive during 9/11, most of them, like, and it shows.
That's what That's what the response has been.
But you really shouldn't have to be alive for something to understand. Have empathy. It. And not even empathy, like common sense.
Wait, that just reminded me of something. The craziest thing happened to me last night. Like, this is major tea. I have to share.
Oh.
So I told you this. Did you not read my text in the chat?
You did. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay. Crazy. Like, more than one crazy thing can happen. What do people like to say? Two crazy things can be true at the same time.
No, they just say two things can be true once.
But
You're making it your own.
I'm meeting the moment.
So I feel like I'm not supposed to share this, but like, I don't care.
Yeah. Was it not like a private thing?
Oh, it was. Should I not?
I don't know. That's why I assumed it was a private thing. Like, it was.
No, it was. It was. But like, would this person care?
I don't know him.
Fuck. Maybe you're right. I'm really sorry. That was not cool, guys.
Like, okay. Maybe like one day. Maybe tomorrow if you find out more information. I'm sure someone will actually write it up. I'm sure there was like a mole.
I thought there would definitely be a mole and that this thing would be on page six.
Not page
and then I could
six,
say it was there.
It's not really a page six type.
Yes, thing. It is. Yes, it is.
I would say.
Okay, let's stop talking about a thing I can't share because that's so annoying and I'm really sorry. But you're right. I don't want to get in trouble.
Turney's going to work to find out if she can share.
Let me just ask someone what they think.
Okay, yeah, and then we can circle back to it. In the meantime, I'll tell you our second story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, usually haircuts do not make news on this show.
And I think that's a policy we should stick by.
But Harry Styles has given fans a closer look at his shaved head, and he's dividing his fans.
Wait, I'm sorry. Some notes from Osama bin Laden's letter, because I just opened this text message, and it says, so he says that he really, really feels that people should abscond from homosexuality. Jews run everything. And that was pretty much the thesis.
And so the women...
And the women loved it. And that's why I've said it once and I'll say again, I'm not a woman who blindly supports other women because I've seen some of those women's TikToks and they don't have my support.
I mean, maybe they didn't get to the part about like how Osama feels about women.
Yeah. I mean, he loved women.
Or maybe they did.
He married all different types of women at all different ages.
Yeah.
And all at the same time.
That is the craziest thing. It's literally Osama. Okay, Harry Styles shaved his head. We talked about it earlier this week.
We did.
But like, he posted a picture. Fans are divided. I'm making an exception to the rule. We're talking about a haircut because this is big news. You know, they're calling him Hairless Styles.
I don't love it. And I knew that it was coming. I saw a very blurry picture of like his silhouette. So I had a feeling I would know what it would look like. And it doesn't look like what I thought it was. And it looks bad.
So do you not feel like he's the David Beckham?
No, so I would have thought he was one of these people who could pull off any hairstyle. Like, I really don't like it.
I don't dislike it. He's a nice-looking man, but it definitely takes away. I mean, he looks a lot older. It takes away some of that boyish charm, which I think he likes.
Perhaps.
But he looks like a lot of other people now. And I feel like before, he was, you know, one of a kind.
Yeah.
But now he looks like a number, like just like an artist.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That's a great point. I just think aesthetically, it's not my favorite.
You prefer hairful styles.
Hairful styles.
Harry Styles.
Harry Styles.
Yeah. Me too. Though I do like change, you know? Whenever someone cuts their hair, even if it's like it's not your best cut, like I appreciate that you tried something new.
Yeah. And Harry's always had like a multitude of hairstyles. We remember the shoulder length. He's grown out his hair. He's cut his hair. This most recent one with very like bachelor-esque, you know, fluffy. I liked that one for the Love on Tour. This just isn't my favorite, but you're right. He definitely fancies himself a David Beckham type.
Yeah. And he is good looking enough that it really doesn't matter, but it's different.
Yeah.
It's different.
Mm-hmm. It hits different this time. Catastrophic blues moving on was always easy for me to do.
Speaking of Taylor Swift songs, I watched this show, The Buccaneers, on Apple TV. I think it's like 4 or 5 episodes. And when I started it, I was regretting it because it's not good. But I kept watching. I kept watching because like I already gotten into it and I don't want to take the time to get into another show I'm not going to like. It's just like so historically inaccurate. Like it's set in like 1870 and it's like... But it's meant to be. It's like the way that they're behaving, these girls, like they would never, like no one would ever. And it's about like, you know, American rich American, like Gilded Age girls, like going over to Britain and, you know, the broke lords want to marry them, whatever. And the way that these American girls are behaving, like, I know there was a difference between like the Americans cultures and the British, but this is it's ridiculous. They're like constantly running around. First of all, in the opening scene, they're like showing their arms. Like, I don't think anyone right. was showing, like, it. But it's like they wanted to do a modern show about like love and whatever, just set in a different time.
Yeah.
And it's just bothering me how there's like, it's so devoid from like historical accuracy, just in terms of like, I like those like small cultural things. Even yeah. in one scene, she's giving the baby a bottle, which I'm obsessed with like how people like breastfed, nurse, rear children before there were breast pumps, formula, everything. And the bottle is like this little glass boat. And I thought that was so interesting. And like, that's why yeah. I like shows like this. You like learn yeah. things like that. I want more of that. Not sleeveless women running around in corsets that like, no, they would never be allowed out of the house like that.
Wait, you also just reminded me, like, nobody's talking about the fact that Gilded Age is back.
Because it's one episode at a time and the show's not good enough for yeah. me to watch it. It's not Game of Thrones. Sorry.
No, but I do feel like it could be one of those shows that like by the time we hit like season 3 or 4, like it's so popular and it gets like really good. Because it's there. The makings of it are there. It's beautifully done.
Yeah. I mean, I like it because it's because my like vibe, it. But it's not the best of the best.
No.
It's not like, it's Julian Fellows, but it's not Downton.
No.
And it but does it give be. Like community, there's something about it that's like community theater.
I'm sorry. It's, first of all, there's a lot of things about it, but like Cynthia Nixon playing something other than Miranda Hobbs is literally, it's just impossible. It's impossible to suspend your disbelief and believe that, you know, she's a woman living in the Gilded Age.
And just the accents, like, it's comical.
Yeah.
And even those nouveau riche people across the street, like, it's just so put on. Like, you feel yeah. like you're watching a fake show.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
You don't
fair.
Feel transported.
You don't.
So, Buccaneers, but now that I've gotten a few episodes, like, I'm into the storyline, it's good. Christina Hendrickson is in it, and she's amazing.
I love that bitch.
She's so different in the show. She plays the mother, mm-hmm. but she is just really acting through. She's really acting well.
Like, the fact that we live in a world where Bryce Dallas Howard and Christina Hendricks both exist, and they're not the same person, like, I'll never understand that.
Yeah, but sometimes one of them's working, and so the other one shows up. Like,
it's nice to have a backup redhead.
Yeah. There's it's two. Nice. There we get two.
I don't think I could possibly tell them apart, except because I watched Mad Men. Like, I definitely recognize Christina Hendricks more.
As a redhead, I can tell them apart with ease. Like, of same course. With, like, Amy Adams and Isla Fisher.
I'm sorry. Those two women don't look alike.
Everyone thinks they're the same person.
No, I could tell them apart in a flash.
But those are the four redheads. And then Jessica Chastain rounded out. And we have a basketball team.
the fire crotches. Sorry, that's disgusting.
It is.
It's like a disgusting word. I can't believe I just used that. I'm disgusting.
You are.
I am.
Are you ready for our next story?
I just feel, you know when you can feel energy in a room?
Okay.
I feel like there's like a mouse in here. Like, I can just feel it.
Maybe it's you.
Like, we've been in the studio for many, many years. We've never seen a mouse. I just think my time is up, you know?
Maybe you're the mouse.
But I'm not, because I'm a girl.
There could be girl mouses.
I'm a human girl.
Is the mouse in the room with us?
I believe it is.
Put out a piece of cheese.
You think I have cheese?
Yeah, I think there's a cheese string in the fridge, honestly.
Maybe that's why we have a mouse.
And if it's not there, the mouse already got it.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts before I can get into the next story?
No, I've been told I really shouldn't share my tea, and I'm really sorry to have brought it up.
Thank you for the apology. I'm glad I caught you in time.
Yeah.
Our next story is a story that I'm very passionate about.
Wow. What story number is this?
3.
Okay.
Bachelorette star Blake Hortzman is expecting his first baby with Love is Blind alum Giannina Gibelli. So for people who watch Love is Blind or The Bachelor, Bachelorette, you probably know that Blake Hortzman from Becca's season of The Bachelor is dating Giannina from Love is Blind, who was engaged to Damien and she lost her butterflies. They've been together for a while, like over a year, maybe 2 years. They met on like a reality show where like cast-offs of other reality shows I don't know which one specifically.
Like MTV X on the Beach.
Yeah, like Sex on the Beach sort of thing. Yeah. But not that one.
Yeah.
And they've been going steady for a really long time, and now they are pregnant, and I am just over the moon for them.
No, I will say, like, this is the ending nobody saw coming, you know? It's very sweet. I just, like, I think their Instagram content is insane. Jackie's always sending it to me. Like, I find it very triggering. But that's neither here nor there, because I actually think this is lovely, and I'm really happy for them.
I'm really happy for them. You couldn't write a better ending. To both of these shows, even. Like, the fact that I think a lot of people, you know, they go on shows like Famous in Love, you know, crossover shows.
Yep.
They meet someone, probably have a lot in common with them because you've both been on a reality show, but it never lasts. And these two are defying the odds.
Yeah, I agree. It's really nice. The pregnancy announcement was really beautiful.
and
it's great.
The proof is in the pudding.
It's true. And I also feel like they're, even though, like I was saying, like they're so, like their Instagram is just insane. Like
it's a lot.
Photo shoots, it's a lot. I also weirdly feel like they're very low key. I feel like a lot of people don't even know that these two are dating.
Enough people know is how I feel. And it's my job to share it with the world and to publicize the nace.
You have to publicize the nace.
Having a baby together.
Yeah. And like I feel as though like nobody really knows like either of these people on a real personal level, because they both kind of had like these insane personalities on their shows.
And they both had crazy arcs.
Right.
But I feel like they know each other.
Right. They see each other.
They've seen each other at their best and at their worst, and they're choosing to forge ahead. So I believe in their love. Find you a love like Blake and Giannina.
No, it's really nice. I'm happy for these two.
I always forget about his Bachelor in Paradise stint. Like, I always just think of him as, like, Becca's runner-up.
I don't think of him, like, ever. But if I had to think of him, I think of him as,
now
like,
I'm going
Jason
back.
Tardik, right?
Yeah, but now I'm remembering Kaylin, Stagecoach.
Text messages,
Hannah G.
What did Hannah G do?
He just, like, really wanted to date her in Paradise, even though he had already had a thing with Kaylin, but he asked Tayshia out on a date, even though Hannah G was there. He was just a mess.
Messy Hortzman.
Yeah. And Hannah G made the right call.
She's,
look at
you know.
I mean, everybody made the right calls for themselves. Look at Blake.
Yeah, that was a good era of Bachelor in Paradise, and we did get a lot of couples from that time.
Kaylin and Dean?
Yeah.
Obsessed. Hannah and Dylan.
Yeah, they just got married.
Yeah. Who else? Anyone?
Tayshia, but she didn't end up with anyone from that. Jean-Paul Jones. That was like a crazy time.
Yeah.
JPJ.
So mazel tov to Blake and Giannina.
Mazel tov. Wishing you well.
Wishing you so well. So thankful to have a reason to discuss them.
Before we dive into the next story, let me tell you that the next story and the rest of the show are brought to you by Rakuten. For toasters who are longtime listeners, you know that we love Rakuten, one of the quintessential hacks to save money while shopping. Rakuten is an app that gives you cash back on the stores you are already buying from, which you can stack on top of holiday deals to maximize your savings. Then it lets you deposit your cash back earnings directly into your PayPal, or it's sent to you via a check back to you. And the holiday season is upon us, which means it is the time to be using the app. They are having their highest cash back rates of the year from Black Friday to Cyber Monday, with brands giving up to 15% cash back on stores that you were already shopping at. So in the spirit of the holidays and all this money that Rakuten is going to be saving you, let's play a round of my favorite game, This or That, but it's going to be Holiday Gift Edition.
Okay.
So we're going to be spending hypothetical money. You know, that's our absolute favorite thing to do here, like when we're going to win the lottery.
Literally.
So let's get into it. These are all things you can and will be saving money and getting cash back on at Rakuten. So tell me what you would prefer.
Okay.
A brand new set of makeup from Tarte, or new skincare, a whole new regime from Kiehl's.
Ooh, two brands that I love. But here I'm going to have to go necessity, because I have all Tarte makeup.
Yeah, I have the things like, this that is I an need. Unfair question because I was going to say too, like I'm on the Tarte PR list.
No, I'm also on the Kiehl's PR list is what I was going to say.
You are?
Oh my God, yeah. Avocado cream. They also make baby products. Yeah, I use their baby lotion.
So are you going with Kiehl's?
I think I'm going to go with Kiehl's because out of necessity, I have less Kiehl's than I have Tarte. Like I have Tarte make up a lifetime supply.
Yeah, I agree.
But if it was for you, listener, dear listener, they're both great choices.
Yeah, it just depends. Like, are you a makeup girly or are you a skincare girly?
What are your needs?
This game is so personal. Okay. All right, ready for another one?
Yeah.
Would you prefer a brand new away luggage or a brand new Dyson Airwrap?
Ooh. Ooh, these are hard.
I would choose the Dyson Airwrap.
I have a Dyson Airwrap.
I know, we have to talk hypothetically because okay. I have an away suitcase and a Dyson Airwrap.
Right, but I just feel like you can never have enough suitcases is how I feel.
Agreed, but like a Dyson Airwrap is like a once in a lifetime sort
and
of
also,
thing.
And also, I use my Dyson Airwrap every day. My away suitcase, like I would only notice it a couple times a year and I'd be like, right. Damn, I wish I had an away suitcase. Whereas every right. day I would need my Dyson Airwrap.
Dyson Airwrap like, is the winner.
I like my Skechers sneakers, but I love
my Dyson Airwrap. Okay. This one's really hard. Would you rather get 5 new Stanley water bottles in any colors of your choice or 5 pairs of Ray-Ban sunglasses?
Whoa.
Now, I feel like the answer at first would be Stanley.
I feel like the answer at first would be Ray-Ban because if you do the monetary value, that's technically a bit of a higher value.
I don't know. These Stanleys, these, you know, collab ones. I know. Special edition.
But I'm so in my Stanley era.
By the way, same. My Stanley's my life, but like, do I need 5?
Yes. One for every day of the week.
With sunglasses, I really like change them up all the time.
I'm kind of going Stanley.
I think I'm going Ray-Ban.
Okay, good. We each got what we wanted.
All right, let's do one more. New UGG slippers or Stuart Weitzman boots? I guess it just depends how big like of a slob you want to be that day, you know? It just depends on the day.
I'm going UGG slippers because I literally just bought UGG slippers yesterday because I was like, I'm going to treat my foot. I'm treating my foot right now. Like my slippers are so run down. I deserve a cozy pair of slippers this season. And so I would have gone UGG slippers.
What about a whole new wardrobe from Saks or all new makeup from Ulta? Ulta carries everything, like high, low, but
I'm going Saks. I'm going Saks. A whole new wardrobe from Saks. They literally have everything. Like,
no, they have like underwear, hosiery, bralettes, like from top to bottom.
Yeah, no, I'll go with a makeup-free face.
Yeah, no, I'll be so ugly, but dressed to the nines that nobody will notice.
Yeah.
So don't forget, all of these places that we just mentioned and so many more get you cash back when you shop with Rakuten. The good news is that with Rakuten, you can have this and that, because this game,
it's hypothetical.
It's hypothetical.
You don't have to choose.
On Black Friday, all the way to Cyber Monday, you can earn up to 15% cash back on Rakuten from brands like UGG, Stanley, Dyson, Ray-Ban, Saks, Ulta, all the places we mentioned. So I know it sounds like there's got to be some sort of gotcha moment from Rakuten, but there's truly not. Membership is free. It's so easy to sign up. And all you have to do is download the Rakuten app or visit Rakuten.com to start saving today. Rakuten.com or the Rakuten app. Happy shopping. Stay safe this holiday season, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Claudia, for that fun and engaging game.
A pleasure.
I feel engaged.
I'm glad. Mazel tov.
Though I'm married.
Oh.
Play on words. Are you ready for our next story?
Yes.
It's some exciting news for the children.
Thank God.
Frozen 4 is in the works at Disney. Bob Iger reveals.
Was there ever a 3?
It's forthcoming. But before it even comes out, they're letting you know Frozen 4 is coming. Bob Iger revealed the studio is working on a 4th Frozen movie in addition to the previously announced Frozen 3, which hasn't been released yet. He said Frozen 3 is in the works and there might be a Frozen 4 in the works too, he said on GMA. But I don't have much to say about those films right now. The director who created the original movies is hard at work on not one but 2 actual stories of Frozen.
I wake up every day mad that I wasn't cast in Frozen. Like, they didn't even know it at the time. I'm sure they thought it would be a great payday, like a big Disney movie. They didn't know the franchise they were creating when they created that movie. And, like, I just think, like, how lucky Idina Menzel, Josh Gad, Jonathan Groff. Like, I'm so...
Kristen Bell.
That's what I meant. I'm so jealous It's disgusting.
Maybe there's a new character that you could audition for.
I would love that. Also, speaking of Disney movies, Dwayne The Rock Johnson was on Jimmy Fallon, and he announced that they're in the works is a live action Moana that he's going to obviously play Maui in.
Chef's kiss. Great idea. This is what's great about like having so much immediate success with new movies. Like they could also do this for Frozen.
Right. And like Moana's not problematic. So in a few years when they, you know, do it again, they're not going to have to, you know, remove the dwarves.
Right. Right. No, but I'm saying like, and I guess maybe it's a little different for Frozen. Like, I don't think Idina Menzel would play Elsa in a live action Frozen.
No, they're like teenagers.
Yeah, and they don't look like their characters. I guess this really only works for Dwayne.
Yeah, I don't know who, there aren't really other like famous voices in Moana, is there?
Moana herself, she's about to be in Mean Girls, a musical.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Who is she playing?
I think one of the Mean Girls.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, but Dwayne playing Maui, and also like Maui was inspired by him a bit, like it was very simpatico.
Yeah, like his culture, his tattoos.
His tattoos, right. So I think that's awesome. I think Moana live action will be stunning.
Yeah.
All that oceanic panorama.
Yeah, but who would play like the live action Frozen? That's a good question. Honestly, I feel like I keep using her for everything.
Renee Rapp.
Anna could totally be Anya Taylor-Joy.
Or does she sing?
That's a good question. And never stop Zac Efron. And you know what we don't talk about enough as a culture?
Mm-hmm.
How, like, he was in High School Musical because they liked him so much, even though he couldn't really sing. So, like, in the movies, Drew Seeley is singing and Zac Efron is lip-syncing. And then Zac Efron kind of became, like, the guy for musicals. And he sang in The Greatest Showman. So, like, why couldn't he sing in High School Musical?
I think he stepped his pussy up. Like, yeah, he took some voice lessons. I think he probably
he was in Hairspray.
Yeah, he probably has a pleasant enough voice. Like, he's not like me where there's just no helping. But right. He could carry a tune. And I think he had so much potential to be a musical king. Like, he dances, he acts, he's down to clown.
He's so down to clown.
That's an important factor in a movie musical actor.
No, if you want to get in musicals, like, you have to be the most unserious person.
Right. So they were like, if we could just help this
man's voice.
Unless
you're doing, like, Les Mis.
Right. If we could help this man's voice, he'll be unstoppable. And that's what they did.
Honestly, it to me, it translates as this is a person who was born to sing. Like, when I heard him on Hairspray, it's the ladies' choice, I'm the ladies. Do. Ah. Ba-ba-da-da-da-da-da. Like, that to me is one of the greatest musical performances of our time. And you're telling me that person had to learn how to sing and he wasn't just born singing?
Yeah, I think talent needs to be honed.
Without love, like, hello.
But I also think what makes him a great movie musical actor, it's not his voice itself, like, isn't amazing. It's the whole package.
Good. Yeah.
Like, even in Greatest Showman, like, I'm not struck by his voice. Like, I'm just struck by the whole thing. So it's just a small part of the magic that is Zac Efron.
And I always thought it was so cool how for a very long time, Zac Efron was like the hottest guy in Hollywood. And he just like loved to do musicals. Like, it was so sweet and cute. And like, and he was so straight. I was like, this is so crazy.
I never thought about it much, but it's a beautiful thing.
I thought about it all the time. How like he was this like singing and dancing queen, but he was also like this heartthrob.
Yeah. I really never saw it that way, but it's beautiful.
Yeah. And I guess he was kind of like a young Hugh Jackman. And that's why The Greatest Showman was so beautiful, because it really was the passing of the baton.
Yeah, but also young Hugh Jackman is Gaston. Luke Evans.
I love that man. I could wax poetic. I could do a whole podcast on Luke Evans, but it's important to note I've literally only seen him in Beauty and the Beast. Like, I'm sure he's worked on other stuff. I've never seen it.
But that's sign of a great act. Like, when when someone's one role is enough to sustain you.
We need to rewatch Beauty and the Beast when we're on vacation in
I'll
December
add it to
because
the list.
I haven't seen it in probably a year, and it's
What? Mm. Like, now with this list, we do have to think about the children.
No, because I feel like I've thought about this. We'll be watching when the children go to bed.
Oh, okay, but that's why it's a great movie. Like, Kayla loves Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, and that's nice and stuff. But like, not to be annoying, like watching stuff with the kids is annoying. Like, they're like jumping around and like we can't focus.
Oh, wow.
No, like, we're going to be watching this stuff when they go to bed. We're not going to be watching The Golden Bachelor with Kayla, are we?
She would love it.
No, she would like be disruptive. And I love her. But like, if we're going to watch something, we have to watch it.
Wow. Wow. Well, soon we can add Frozen 4 to our lists of family-friendly movies. Not.
I didn't even see Frozen 2. I'm not like I'm not obsessed with Frozen.
It's good. It's really good.
No, it was good. It was good.
You'll watch it. You'll watch it and you'll like it.
And I loved what they did, you know, that first movie with like the celebrity soundtrack. Demi Lovato did Let It Go. Rascal Flatts was on there, right?
No, they just, they did like an off-brand.
Oh, they did an off-Broadway cover?
Yeah, they did this, like, you know, every once in a while, I think it was David Foster, he put together an album of Disney covers.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was good. And Rascal Flatts did Let It Go with Lucy Hale. It's yeah, like someone went into my brain.
Yeah. So you're saying that wasn't a Disney-sanctioned work of art?
No, it was Disney-sanctioned. You can't sing their songs without...
But it wasn't like official.
It wasn't like the official soundtrack of Frozen. It was just some people like riffing.
That's too bad.
I love to riff and raff.
Yeah, riff on me.
Our fifth and final story is kind of crazy. And it's just funny the lengths we'll go to not choose Jimmy Kimmel being Oscar host as a story.
I support, what is it? Whatever it is, I love.
An escaped horse on a plane forces the flight to turn back to JFK.
The horse escaped the plane? Where did he go?
So this is why details are important, because you think, like, how did a horse end up on a plane without people knowing? But no.
Well, horses go on planes.
It's not. No? Yeah, it's not like that. Within hours of taking off, a plane was forced to reroute and return to its departure airport after a horse got loose in the cargo hold.
Ooh.
A Boeing 747 took off from JFK on November 9th, and once it reached 31,000 feet, its crew requested a change in flight plan as one of the 15 horses in cargo had gotten loose. The plane was operated by Air Atlanta Icelandic. The horses were being transported. There was 15 horses. They were being transported to across the pond.
Like, the idea of a horse on a plane makes me want to cry.
No, literally. I mean, I didn't think much about how horses get around these days. But of course they do, you know, they breed them.
Of course, like when they go to like the big races.
Well, they usually stay on the same continent, I think.
Yeah, but still, like if your horse is in California, you go to the Kentucky Derby, like you got to fly, no? Or you drive
the horse. I think you drive. You see those horses on the highway all the time.
I see horse on the highway. I just imagine he's going, you know, from one farm to the next, like an hour away.
Yeah, I think if you're going from California to Kentucky, like you drive, because a horse on a plane is an insane idea.
No, it's insane.
But when I think about horses crossing the seas, I would have thought that they would go by ship. I would have.
Well, so I watched this documentary once and I was sobbing. It's called Cher and the Loneliest Elephant. And it's all about this, like, this elephant during COVID that was in like one of these forlorn zoos in Pakistan. Like, it was just horrible. And the zoo lost its funding, whatever, and all the animals, whatever. And they had nowhere to put this elephant. And he was like decrepit and broken and sad. And Cher got involved. And they had to get this elephant to like this refugee,
sanctuary?
Yes, not refugee. Sanctuary in Cambodia. How do you get from Pakistan to Cambodia? Cher was very helpful. They got a cargo plane and they like walked the elephant onto the plane. The elephant had like broken legs. He was in shackles. It was like one of these horrible zoos. And they had to train him for like weeks and months before the plane because he was a little violent because he was mistreated for so many years. So he gained the love and trust of this doctor. And this doctor was basically saying it's his job to like help animals who are in captivity and then move on from them. And it's a very hard job because you get so emotionally attached. So he has rules. Like, he won't emotionally attach to these animals. But this elephant like stole his heart. And this like Pakistani veterinarian was crying. And like, I was crying. It was so sad. It's such a good documentary. And then at the end, like, because Cher is involved, he obviously, it's a happy ending and he's like thriving, whatever. And then they start playing Cher, like, do you believe in life after love? Let me tell you, this documentary changed my fucking life. So I did know that, like, in extreme circumstances, I mean, they got an elephant on a cargo plane.
Well, that's crazy that a plane can take off with a literal elephant.
Yeah.
On the plane. That's amazing. So technically you can fly a horse, but I would just think that, I mean, the journey by sea is longer. But, like, the air pressure, how does that affect horse?
I do believe they, like, tranquilize them.
But still air pressure.
No, of course. And also, like, horses sleep standing up. So, like, for takeoff, is he standing up?
And how is there, like, a tall enough cargo hold?
I don't know. And this is just one thing, like, I don't want to know. Like, what if there was a horse on board with Sully? We always talk about the potential dogs, but what about a horse?
That's why it's crazy.
No, but I don't think there are horses on passenger planes. This was a cargo. Icelandic?
It was Air Atlanta Icelandic.
I believe that's like a cargo airline.
Yeah. And so one horse got loose. They had to turn back around. And
but got loose like?
From cargo. So like got out of his stall.
Okay.
And they had to turn back around.
No, because if this was a passenger plane and like my ass had to turn around because someone's fucking horse wasn't clipped in, like I would be so mad.
When I, hold on, there's more details about how the horse got loose. But when I first read this story, like I thought like a horse accidentally ended up on a plane.
Jumped.
No, like.
I thought a horse accidentally, they said he escaped to the plane. I'm like, he jumped out? Mid-flight?
According to the chairman of ARK, the company that handles all animal export and quarantine operations at JFK, we have to have him on the toast.
Honestly, I just feel like, I hope he runs a clean business. Like, I feel like I'm really getting upset. Like,
so apparently, this is going to upset you. Turbulence.
No.
Turbulence struck, and the horse jumped and managed to get its two front legs over the front barrier of its holding stall, and then he got jammed. So the horse was then suspended over the barrier with its front legs on one side and its hind legs still inside the stall. So upon landing, he was met with a veterinary care team, and he needed equipment to help get him out.
Okay, that's not as sad as I thought it was going to be. Like, he was probably just scared and uncomfortable for a few hours.
Yeah.
But he wasn't probably in any pain.
I don't know. Then the plane took off again. They were going to Belgium. That was the original destination shortly after the horse was attended to.
This is just, like, one of the things you never think about. Like, how what makes, you know, like, people buy livestock. Like, it happens all the time. Farming is real. It's just one of the things I just wish I never knew.
Yeah, and especially with horses, like, I feel like there's all different kinds of horses, breeds, you know, you got your English horse. I've heard they've got nice horses in Hungary.
It's like, how did they get to Hungary? Unless they were born there.
Yeah, no, I think they, like, it's a certain kind of horse.
Yeah, it's just sad.
And we have horses here, Wild West.
We do.
Wild West.
The West is wild.
It's going to stay wild. It will forever be wild. And that's your daily horse
update. It's going to stay wild.
You should stay wild.
So yesterday when I went to this dinner at Green Barrel, like I was seeing a bunch of people I didn't know. They were just like asking what I do. And they were like, well, what do you talk about? And I'm like, we talk about how horses are wild.
We talk about how horses get from one continent to another.
Like, honestly, because I feel like a million years ago, like I would have said, like, we're a pop culture show. And like, we are. But we're so much more than that. And I feel like saying we're a pop culture show just kind of diminishes the work that we do for animals, you know, and other subjects.
Yeah. I feel like there's a better word for what we do, which is like, how would they?
Entertainment.
Entertainment, but also just like lifestyle.
Yeah, but that sounds fake. I know. We have a lifestyle podcast. Oh, so you're unemployed.
Yeah. Let me look at thesaurus.com. We need a new word.
It's more just like humanity,
style of living,
love. I have a style of living podcast. What do you do?
Humanity. I like that
because we talk about all things. Like sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, sometimes we joke. You know?
Yeah, I feel like I need to look at what like college like made.
Honestly, you know what we call it? Comedy.
Yeah. I always say, like, we talk about entertainment stuff, but we're in the comedy category, so it's funny.
Yeah, but, like, no, we're a comedy podcast, yeah. Right?
We are. I mean, we literally are.
No, I know, but I mean, like, I'm not talking categories. I'm talking, you know, if I were to explain it to someone.
Yeah, but that's, like, weird because it's like, okay, so you just do, like, comedy every day?
Like, knock-knock jokes?
What do you talk about?
Comedy. Funny things.
You need like blank with a comedy bent.
What?
You need like subject with a comedy bent.
Entertainment. Like now we sound like we don't have jobs. Like
pop culture. Yeah, world news.
Yeah, but then they're gonna think we're talking about NATO.
Yeah. Hold on.
Unserious world news.
There's definitely like a category on people.com that like humanities, honestly.
Human interest.
Okay, they have news, entertainment, royals, lifestyle.
I think we're a lifestyle podcast.
Society and culture.
Should we move categories?
We are society and culture, but that's like also not a real.
We have like a cultural podcast.
Culture. Culture. Okay, but that's pop culture.
Oh. Not me forgetting that the word culture is in pop culture.
Literally.
Like I said, I'm not smart.
But we also, society. Social issues.
But I mean.
But then we're just like shouting words. Social
that
issues.
That is what we do. Shouting words. That's it. What do you do for a living? I shout words.
Shout.
You know you make me want to shout. All right, that's our show. Gorgeous. Tomorrow's episode is the final episode of the week. We are wearing our new merch. So on Monday, don't forget, 10 a.m. Eastern time, our holiday merch is launching. You'll see photos and exact items on our Instagram throughout today, tomorrow, and the weekend. So make sure to follow us at The Toastin. Thank you so much for listening to The Toastin Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast, and where podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, Radio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us at Toast. Leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Love ya. Bye.